you very much. I'm sorry for the delay, but as you might have noticed, I've been experiencing some technical difficulties with my phone carrier. So calls coming in doesn't seem to connect. So I will ask staff to dial me to another number instead. But in the meanwhile, I think we can go ahead and keep the discussion. So we've been having a lot of activity in this cross-community working group, and we are almost reaching the deadline for delivering our comment assessment to the larger group in anticipation for our meeting in Dublin. So we received yesterday and in the course of today too all the drafts by the different volunteers on diversity, staff accountability, and SOAC accountability. So I think that it would be useful, of course, to go through each of the different documents. And I'm not sure if the staff does have those documents handy, and I would like to display the one on diversity first, so we can walk through it. And I think that Carlos and Greg were in charge on diversity. Is that correct? Greg, I don't see Carlos on the call, but I see you, Greg.
No, I was only chairing. I did not pick up an assignment. So it was just Carlos.
Okay, so you just got the battle promotion yesterday, and that was it.
Yes, I have to supervise. It means I didn't do any work.
No, thank you very much. It was very useful for you to jump in and literally save the chairing of the call. So, okay, so in diversity, we received 23 comments, including 4 governments. 19 comments were supportive of the need for more effective mechanisms for promoting diversity. And 10 of these comments reflected some issues. So if we could enable scrolling in our screens, that would be excellent. Thank you very much. So the areas of consensus, according to this first approach, to this first draft, are that diversity principle and core values should include not only geographic and development dimensions, but also gender, cultural, and linguistic diversity. There is also consensus that we should maintain rotation of meetings in all ICANN regions. So that is where we seem to have consensus in the comments. Now to the areas of refinement. Some of the commenters are saying the clear message of strong commitment to diversity is key to gain political legitimacy on top of two on top of to its well-established confidence by the technical community. That is issue 17 and 20. Then also requirement that it needs for consistent diversity at the board, NUMCOM, and at the SOAC level. So I think that this might be reflecting that there might be the perception that at some of these bodies, there is not sufficient diversity. We also need to refine that diversity should not prevail over skills and experience requirements. So this is something that we have been discussing in the group, and I think that's a point that needs further discussion, as it has been pointed, meaning refinement, because this in some way opposes to the fact that we should privilege in some way regional, cultural, and linguistic diversity. So this is a point that I think will be worth, of course, discussing. And then we have concerns that affirmation of commitments review teams, representatives at the stakeholder group level as opposed to constituency level, may undermine the full diversity of community participation in this critical review process and marginalize these stakeholders, particularly from non-contracted parties. This is labeled as issue 23. Then on our areas of divergence, we have the diversity should not be a requirement in order to implement the INF transition. And then that in the context of diversity, a contributor voice disagreement with established threshold regarding composition of each body, and this will depend on the body and the overall composition, to avoid possible blocking on certain votes, as it is recommending establishing diversity composition at thresholds that are prescriptive and not aspirational as part of Workstream 1. I think this is also one thing that's been widely discussed within our group, and we haven't come to closure on that. So another area of divergence is that specific comments were offered on the recommendation to include diversity in the ATRT mandate, two in favor, two against. And disagreement lies within the concern that the ATRT would be overburdened and or not the best group to perform such reviews. And I see that this is a common comment, not only for diversity, but also for the case of SONAC accountability. I'm not quite sure if that would also be the case for staff accountability, but I guess that it might most likely be the same case. So this is something that we should definitely take into account, whether we expand the mandate of the ATRT or whether we think of any other mechanism or way to try to address these reviews in order to not overburden these ATRT teams. Then we have a comment that was also made that diversity principle would not need the establishment of any specific body for it to be enforced across the existing or newly formed bodies. And last but not least, divergence on review and improved processes for selecting members of the ICANN Board of Directors, which will lead to independent activist vigilant ICANN directors reflected of the diversity of the global multi-stakeholder community, who will question, investigate, and push back when necessary or appropriate against policies advanced by self-interested ICANN stakeholders, which are to the detriment of the global public interest or the global multi-stakeholder community. Then we have, of course, the section on the options for the CCWG for consideration. And this would be the diversity of registrars and registrars. Of the 1,010 ICANN accredited registrars, 624 are from the U.S. and 7 from Africa. So this is something that has been raised, and we might have a look at this, but I'm not sure that we can do a lot to increase diversity in this field, at least. I think we can do some things to increase diversity in many aspects within ICANN, but I'm not sure with regards to registrars and registries, but, well, it is for us to discuss and find, of course. We also should consider to add some reference to the Net Mundial principles, and also that more diversity runs the risk of more conflicts of interest, because that is a question, of course. And the implementation of the principle of non-cumulative holding of offices successively or simultaneously is an absolute necessity to mitigate the risk of capture of the new institutional framework of ICANN by individuals. This sounds to me some kind of a revolving door principle within ICANN. So I think that this would be also that needs exploring from our group. Then finally, the establishment of an independent commission in charge of controlling the conflict of interest statements issued by the board members. And what we have next is, of course, the summary of and all the comments that were submitted, just as an attachment, as an annex to this document that was set up by Carlos. And at this point, I would like to open the floor for comments or different views in regard to diversity. And I see, Matthew, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Liam. This is Matthew speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's, the paper is great, and thanks to Carlos for putting this together so swiftly. My question is on the last part of the section regarding options for CCWG consideration. I wonder if the two bullet points on conflicts of interest would not be more appropriate in the paper on ASO-AC accountability, because I see these items of non-cumulative holding of office and independent commission for conflicts of interest maybe as relevant or maybe even more relevant to ASO-AC accountability than diversity, but maybe it could be both, or I don't know if this has been discussed already. But I find them interesting to assess in the further deliberation. Thank you.
Very much, Matthew. And I do agree with you that this might not be the best slot of our document or the best group to assess this, but rather the SOAC accountability. So I think that I'm having a call, so let me just join the phone bridge. Give me a second.
Hello, can you listen to me now? I think you can. Okay, so yes, Matthew, so I was saying that I do agree with you that this might not be the best group to address this issue. We might consider moving it to SAC and SO accountability, because it seems to me that that would be a group that identifies more with these two last bullets. So let's have that as an action item, please, to consider whether these two last bullets on options for CCWG consideration should be put in the document that address the SO and AC accountability. Are there any other comments on diversity so far? I see Greg Shevin's hands up. Greg.
Thanks. Just on the same section we've just been discussing, I don't see the logical link between the topic. I'm glad we're moving them, because I don't see the logical link between an increase in diversity and the two bullet points that are listed here. I unfortunately, didn't go back to the underlying comments to see how this was logically expressed, but it seems like a non sequitur. Indeed, one would hope that diversity leads to fewer conflicts of interest and, you know, more people and less holding of offices. Anyway, I just want to kind of add befuddlement to the other reasons for moving this out of here. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. And, of course, the action item of moving the bullet points on conflicts of interest is for myself. I will be at this, the SONAC accountability document. And I would like to see if anyone wants to add anything to the diversity discussion at this stage. Okay, John?
Yeah, hi, Leon. Hi, everybody. No, just a caution maybe on the point regarding the inclusion of diversity into the ATRT process. It's listed there that two spoke in favor and two wrote against. I was wondering whether silence in most cases probably meant assent, or at least no major objection, so that setting it up as two against two and as a split vote might not be quite the way that the overall comments opinion was flowing.
Thank you, Thank you very much, Jim. This is a good catch here. And as I said, I see and we'll all see in the review of the following documents that this comment was repeatedly made by many commenters. But I do agree with you that it doesn't seem to me that this comment would be a majority of opposing comment on including these reviews into the ATRT. But however, I think it's good for us that we consider whether these would carry some overburden to the ATRT teams or not. We might as well ask those who have been part of the ATRT if this kind of a review would actually overburden their work. I don't know who in this call has worked for the ATRT, but I might think that Cheryl could have been in the ATRT, or maybe Avery. I don't know, Cheryl, if you...
But both of us were... I did one, and Avery did two.
Oh, wow, so I was right. So what would be your take on actually expanding the ATRT mandate to include these reviews? Would it really overburden the ATRT team?
It's Cheryl for the record, and Avery and I may differ on this, but my view is it depends on the work that is in front of an ATRT at any particular time. It's in the recent experiences of ATRT 1 and 2, an extraordinarily short amount of time for a significant amount of work to be done to get through the relatively narrow focused topics that they've had to do. The ATRT 2 had the additional burden of having to look at the aspects of other review teams, which was not one of the onerous tasks that ATRT 1 had to do. So part of me suggests that, yes, it could very well be a burden, but not always a burden. And I would, however, suggest that an ATRT should be in a position to ensure that this sort of audit, if I can put that in inverted commas for the record, is done either by itself or by another ad hoc or specifically purposed review team from time to time as is required. But as the work and nature of the work of regular ATRTs quite necessarily changes, this would need to be up for review. That's a very long non-answer, and I do apologise for just clouding the issue if that's what's happened.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And that is a very useful non-answer, as you said, because at least to me it brings some light to what the HFT actually carries out in their work, and, of course, useful for this conversation. So are there any other comments with regards to diversity? Okay, I guess we can move forward. And now I'd like to display the staff accountability paper, please. Okay, so here we have the staff accountability paper. And we, of course, have the recommendations pasted into the introduction of the document. Then the areas of consensus state that a total of 9 comments relating to staff accountability were received by the CCWG that directly addressed the CCWG's recommendation on staff accountability. All of the commenters agreed with the notion that I can continue to build on existing accountability of all stakeholders, including clear identification of the roles and responsibilities of the board, staff, and the community in their interaction. Strong support for the concept that the method to ensure such accountability of the staff is through the CEO. So this is something that we have been discussed, and I think it's good that we have found out that we have consensus that staff accountability should be made through the CEO and not through the SOs and ICs themselves. And it's also good that we find that there's consensus on the notion that ICANN should continue to build accountability not only within staff or the board, but all stakeholders. So I think this is key for our current discussion on the different models. I think that one of the arguments, or at least one of the reasons for the board to not completely agree with either the membership or the designator model as they have expressed is that with increased powers to ACs and SOs, and of course in this transition scenario, then we would need to increase these or enhance these levels of accountability for it to be a level ground, I think. But we'll go deeper into that when we go to the ACSO paper. So the areas of refinement with regards to staff accountability are that several of the commenters, including Cyber Invasion Limited, Nominate, and the IGA board, cautioned against direct accountability of the ICANN staff to the community. So this is a little bit contradictory to the consensus that we have found in areas of consensus, because while we are saying that there is strong support for the concept that the method to ensure accountability of staff is through the CEO, then we have this area of refinement, which I'm not sure whether if this would actually be suited to be in here in this new refinement. So I guess this is something that we will have to, of course, review with those in charge of staff accountability paper. Then we have, in addition, the same commenters cautioned against bypassing existing and normal chains of command, giving the community any operational role in staff management, or interfering with internal practices, policies, governing the employment relationship. Then we have an area proposed by William Perry that offers support for both recommendations being handled as part of Workstream 2. And I think this, more than an area of refinement, could be some area of support that while it doesn't, it couldn't be labeled as area of consensus, I think it could be just passed into the introduction, in which we say that some commenters are supporting but many concepts that we put in our draft document. I think this should also be moved somewhere up in the document. Then Center and NORID welcome the creation of a code of conduct, transparency criteria, training, and key performance indicators to be followed by staff, and recommend any new processes to be kept simple and easily accessible by both staff and community representatives. And I do think that this might not be an area of refinement, but rather some options for the CCWG to consider. So I would move these down in the document to these options for consideration by the CCWG. Then the CBT believes that as part of the review, the community should consider whether it would be appropriate for the interactions between ICANN senior management and the board on the one hand and governments on the other hand to be more transparent. So I think this also could feed into the options for CCWG consideration. Then the Internet Association supports the proposal but cautions against adding more accountability reviews because it is worried that the ICANN committee is assuming burdensome level of reviews that may make it difficult for the community to complete substantive work in the face of recurring procedural work. And this links to the comment in regard to the ATRT being overburdened. So, as I said, this is a common comment. It's also not, I didn't read too many comments in this sense. So I think that the Internet Association did do this comment in all three areas, but there were not many commenters that actually echoed these ideas. So I think that it doesn't have a lot of traction. So then the areas of divergence are that the ICANN board noted that staff accountability work should not be treated as part of the conditions of the IANA stewardship transition, maybe implying that the work should not be even listed as a work stream 2 item. Okay, so this is a clear area of divergence. I am not sure if this is completely linked to the IANA stewardship transition, but I do think that this is something that in any case should be work during our work stream 2 items. And of course, I will open the floor shortly for a comment on these. And so then we have the options for consideration. And as I said, I would suggest moving a couple of the bullets that are labeled as areas needing refinement down this other section of the document. But let's review the ones that were original labeled such. So the CCWG may consider clarifying that measuring and ensuring staff accountability is not intended to interfere with or be a substitute for the normal employment relationship. I think that has been discussed, but not so deeply, so that is fair to say that we should consider and it's more discussion within the group. Then the CCWG may wish to clarify that any issues with staff accountability should be addressed to the ICANN board to take action through ICANN's CEO. Failure of the CEO to remedy any staff accountability failings could then be raised to the committee through one of the normal of the formal preliminary measures. I think this has also been discussed, and I thought we had agreement that maybe we didn't reflect it on our document. So then the CWG may want to clarify that this is not intended to create causes of action between community and individual staff members, and I also thought this was very clear, but it seems that it isn't. So we should definitely make some changes to our next document to clarify this situation. Then, although already listed as work to be done in Workstream 2, to address the ICANN board, the CCWG could clarify that this work will not hold up the IANA stewardship position. Okay, so let's see if there are any comments to this document. And I see Matthew Bale. Matthew?
Yeah, thanks, Julian. I was wondering, the area of divergence, where it's related that the ICANN board noted that staff accountability would not be part of the conditions for stewardship transition. It might be worth looking more in details exactly what the, how the board framed it. I don't have this with me, and whether it's a a request to put it out of Workstream 2 or a request not to have it as Workstream 1. It's not very clear to me.
Thank you very much, Matthew, and I don't have it clear either, so we should definitely have a second look at our draft document in regard to this comment to see if our interpretation is in one way or another. So next one here, I have John Schulte. John?
The comment from CDT about having more transparency in the relations between ICANN management and board on one hand and governments on the other, my recollection is that this point came up in the discussion somewhere, and that the ICANN management, I think it was Fadi himself even, had quite a precise record of these meetings being catalogued and published somewhere. I don't know if the staff can dig out that bit, because if that bit of evidence can be brought back forth and if it's satisfactory, then maybe that particular objection falls. I don't know.
Thank you very much, staff. Jan, I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Jan, and I would ask staff to kindly dig into the issue so we can have a pointer to what Jan just referred. Then I have Greg Shatton on the queue. Greg?
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. A general question about the options for CCW consideration section in this analysis. Are these drawn directly from comments, or are these suggestions made by the drafter of this document based on the comments? That's my first question. If these are drawn directly from the comments, I think it would be very helpful to indicate which comments they came from, as was done under the bullet points, for instance, in the other sections. And if these are analysis that's based on the comments, it would be good to tie them back to the comment they were based on. We probably should discuss whether we, would revise any of these comments, or whether we, would advise the CCWG on how they, might react to them. But I guess the first question is: are these just options put up directly by commenters or by the drafter of this analysis?
Thank you very much, Greg. And I don't have a clear response for you since I didn't draft this document, but I would say that we have a mix of both situations. In my mind, I would say that this might be something that comes directly from the comments, but it might also be the interpretation of the pen holder on the different comments received. So in any case, I think we should ask each of the pen holders whether these options for CCWG consideration are directly drawn from the actual comments received, or whether they are their personal take on what they believe that the comments are telling us or trying to tell us. I see your hand fill up, Greg. Do you want to continue?
I guess we don't have the drafter of this staff accountability paper on the call.
No, we don't. It was
okay. Interesting.
Jeff, okay. And, he said that he wasn't going to make it to the call, and he did stand by his word.
Okay. Makes it a little hard to update the document. Be that as it may. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Are there any other comments in regard to staff accountability paper? Okay, I see no other comments on staff accountability, and I would kindly ask staff to display the SONAC accountability paper. Okay, so in this draft, we also have the introduction that is a copy-paste from what we included in our second draft proposal. Then if you scroll down, you'll see the areas of consensus. And from the comments received, there seems to be consensus on that if SOs and ACs are to be empowered, it is necessary to enhance their accountability. This could be the first area of consensus. Then there's also consensus, or it seems to be consensus, that there should be more work done to identify further issues related to this topic. Then we also seem to have consensus on that it is important to avoid watering down the commitments made for Workstream 2. And as it has been said in previous comments, Workstream 2 is a very important part, of course, on addressing these emerging issues, as we called them originally, which are diversity, staff, and SOAC accountability. And while we have had some comments that refer to actually not taking care of the issues on Workstream 2, there is clear a signal by some of our advisors and some of the general public commenters that we should definitely take care of a deeper and harder work in as part of our Workstream 2 plan. Then the areas needing refinement are the accountability to whom, and I think that this is something that has been discussed in the group, but we haven't come to closure on that. And in this sense, some commenters raised the concern that while ACs and SOs have existing accountability mechanisms that make them accountable to their constituents in some cases, it will be necessary to expand this accountability to the wider non-ICANN community. So there are many comments signaling to this, and this is, of course, a discussion that needs to take place in the larger group. And I think that this, I mean, we could trigger the discussion here, but it certainly needs to be something discussed by the larger group. Then on periodical reviews, one commenter suggests that while periodical community reviews are useful, the CCWG should be mindful not to overburden the community with additional reviews. And this is the comment made in the other two areas, diversity and staff accountability, by the Internet Association, which referred to this comment. Then the third area for refinement would be that who watches the watchers. And there is a comment that is very interesting that states that while it has been a continued discussion, this commenter suggests that so far as SOs and ACs adhere to standards of openness and transparency as defined in the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process, it will be a self-solving issue. And I think this is a discussion that has been taking a lot of air from us, and as I said, we haven't come to closure to this, but in a way, I think that we should definitely go back to the discussion and try to come to closure, because I do think that this comment from I don't remember who did this comment, but I will certainly add a reference on the document, on the final version of the document. It makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, so far as the SOs and ACs adhere to the standards, it seemed to me that it would be a self-solving issue. And on the areas of divergence, we have, and I see Matthew had this up. Matthew?
Sorry, Leon, I didn't want to interrupt. I would note that, and that may be in the areas of divergence or needing refinement, I don't see a mention of a very interesting comment by our advisor, Art Schulter, who was suggesting that the SO and ACs be subject to decisions, be subject to IRP, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm not seeing this reflected in this document, and I think it should belong to this part of the of our work, if I'm not mistaken. But it was meant to be a comment at the end of your presentation.
No problem. It's always good to have interaction as we go. So, yes, I was the pen holder for this document, so I clearly didn't take this comment into account, but I will add it to the next version of stuff. Then, on the areas of divergence, the ICANN community of stakeholders This is a comment from a person who expressly does not support our current proposal, and he is saying that the ICANN community of stakeholders collectively and the ICANN organization as a whole wants the power and money, but none of the responsibility and accountability that one would expect of a global monopoly responsible for coordinating the global internet DNS in the global public interest. So I wouldn't know how to really answer to that area of divergence, but however, I think it's useful that we actually consider it. And on the options for CCWG consideration, I think that we should definitely add a comment on JAN, as Matthew suggested, and I have already added the accountability to whom discussion and who watches the watchers discussion. I think those two items should definitely need to be further discussed by the larger group. And to clarify, this is my take on what I believe that the comments are telling us. This is, of course, drawn from the different comments that we received, but it's my personal take on what I think that the CCWG should need to further consider. And I see Rinalia's hand is up. Rinalia?
Hi, Leon. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Can you hear me, Leon? Okay, thank you. Just an input into the options for CCWG consideration. I think these two questions are really excellent and should be discussed by the big group. In terms of accountability to whom, definitely it should be addressed. And in terms of who watches the watchers, if the enhancement of SOAC accountability is to be implemented through the organizational or structural reviews, the way it's done is that it's a two-part process. One is that the stakeholder group itself addresses the question, and then there would also be an independent examiner who would review that and give an independent opinion. That has been the way that organizational reviews have been done, and I think that is also a good way moving forward in this direction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rinalia, and I think that this last suggestion of yours is very useful because it kind of goes to the point that we had discussed repeatedly with Jan on, and I think Willie Curry also proposed some kind of a mutual accountability mechanism, and I think that this two-step process could actually build into that proposal. And next to Matthew, I have Matthew.
Thank you, Leon. I fully support what Rinalia said, and this would be a lot of value if that level of detail could be added to the current recommendation on structural reviews, so it's more clear. My comment was regarding the question, accountability to whom? I believe in the second report, the CCWG, this question has an answer. I think it is clearly stated that the accountability is not only to the participants of a specific SOAC, but also to the communities they are designed to serve. So I would tend to think that the question about this was answered already by our group, and unless we find comments that would lead to another definition, that we consider that we need to reinforce this aspect in the presentation and in the messaging, but not necessarily reopen the question, or because it's to me, I've read comments that said it must be to the global community, and that's fine, because that was our intent from the start. So probably it's fine-tuning the messaging that we need to do on this question number one. And for question number two, I think Jan Art's suggestion was a good way forward, that and the CCWG would benefit if our option for consideration was a little more concrete and saying, we suggest that the IRP also watches the watchers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Next on the queue, I have Jan.
Actually, reinforcing largely what Matthew said about fine-tuning the message about the... I think the problem in the document is that sometimes the community is used as a term meaning morally the SOs, ACs, and their direct constituents, and sometimes the term community is used in a wider sense to suggest the overall internet community or all users and so on, and that ambiguity creates confusions and generates maybe the kind of comments that one has had. But I agree with Mathieu, if that message is fine-tuned, then the ambiguity is removed, and then probably the objection is removed as well. The one comment about who watches the watchers, as so far as the SOACs adhere to standards of openness and transparency, it'll be solved. I'm not so sure there. I mean, you could have the SOACs be very open and transparent, that they don't consult anyone, that they disregard advice, and then they are not reviewed and they are not held in any way to answer to those things. So transparency by itself is not accountability. So I'm a little bit worried if one accepted that particular remark.
Thank you very much, Jan. And I think that once we clarify or we fine-tune the message on that the IRP could watch the watchers, this problem could also be solved and this question answered. I don't know if there are any other comments in regard to SOAC accountability. I see Greg's hand is up. Greg?
A couple of things. On the very last thing you said, it still seems to be very much an open question whether the IRP can be used for SOAC accountability or to challenge a decision that's made by an SOAC, such as a policy development recommendation. That's I'm not sure that that's any kind of silver bullet for SOAC accountability. It raises a bunch of questions. As far as the options for CCWG consideration, it seems that for this situation, which is so kind of front burner for the current work that we're doing, that to have our only options essentially be a couple of questions, which aren't by themselves options at all, is perhaps a little bit underpowered for what's coming out of here, and also, to the extent that there were, this also seems to reflect, and I'm not sure because I haven't unfortunately reviewed the underlying comments, if the only options coming out of this are open questions, does that mean that in fact there were no options that were suggested in any of the comments? Because if there were options, concrete options that were suggested, it seems to me that those should be listed in the options. I think that, and you know better than me as a co-chair, but we're going to spend time probably very specifically looking at the options sections, and to the extent that the sections contain options as opposed to open-ended discussion questions, or in addition to open-ended discussion questions, the better off we'll be. I mean, this is a situation which I think almost more than anything else, at least to the extent that it's not a red herring, requires us to at least address the issue in a way that makes it less likely that a parade of horribles can be imagined about how SO and ACs actually work. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. And there were, so far as I can tell, and from reading the document, there were actually in this SONAC accountability issue, There were really no new ideas or suggestions. So I would say that there are no other options for consideration by this DCWG.
We may want to say that so that it's clear that, in fact, we didn't get any concrete options. Well, I see under Who Watches the Watchers, under Areas Needing Refinement, at least a suggestion that SOACs adhere to standards of openness and transparency, recognizing that that's necessary but not sufficient to get on the road to accountability. And I agree with Jan that transparency isn't accountability. It's just a chance to see, at best, whether or not accountability there is any accountability.
Thank you very much, Chris. That sounds like a fair addition to the document. I will gladly add that comment into the document. Next on the queue, I have Jan.
Yeah, thanks, Leon. Two things, a clarification, Greg. The suggestion about referring SOAC positions to the IRP, my proposal was quite more specific than that. It was about how the SOs and ACs act within the community empowerment mechanism. So not that SO and AC internal debates, policy decisions, and et cetera, that those would go to the IRP. No, just as the SOs and ACs act in the community empowerment mechanism, that their decisions in that specific context should be referable to the independent review that panel. To give an example, if the board had a complaint that a decision coming out of the community empowerment mechanism was overstepping the mandate, was overstepping the jurisdiction, was overstepping the boundaries of what the community empowerment mechanism should do, the IRP could be a referee in a disagreement of that kind, because otherwise you get the community empowerment mechanism people saying, we have the right to take this decision, and the board saying, no, you don't have the right to take that decision. Well, what do you do in a situation like that? If you could refer to the IRP, then you have an arbiter. Or likewise, if in the community empowerment mechanism the existing SOs and ACs refuse inclusion to a new SO and AC, then at the moment there would be no way to hold the SOs and ACs to account, in the community empowerment mechanism, to account for taking that decision. Again, the board wouldn't be in a position to challenge the community empowerment mechanism, but the refused new SO or AC could go to the IRP and say, we think that the community empowerment mechanism hasn't given us just hearing or just cause to exclude us. So just to say again, so the suggestion of referral to the IRP of SOs and ACs, it was not SOs and ACs in general, but it was SOs and ACs as they enact their new powers in the community empowerment mechanism. That was the specific thing that was being suggested there. And just to note there, I do think that is a specific proposal which is new, which is coming out of the comments. So it might be, an option for consideration. I think this is a concrete option that has come out of the comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jan, and I think that this is something that we definitely need to check with Becky's team. How could this be actually done, whether SOs and ACs acting in community empowerment mechanisms could be referred to the IRP as a consequence of their actions. And I think that we need to check this with Becky, of course, but we are also with the challenge that since we haven't come to closure on which kind of community mechanism we will be having, then it seems to me that we are missing that part of the puzzle too. And next on the queue, I have Matthew.
Yeah, thank you, Leon. I support your approach on Jan, and thanks, Jan, for providing the clarification on your input. I'd like to remind us as well that earlier in this call, we agreed that a couple of points that were in the diversity paper would be pasted in this SOAC accountability paper. And there were also kind of concrete proposals related to conflict of interest management. So there was the revolving door kind of policy and the inspector office. So in terms of options for consideration, we should certainly not forget them as well if we are listing the concrete proposals that we received in the public comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthias. So this should be included as options for CCWG consideration, right? Okay, I see a green tick in agreement. So I will paste those bullets from the diversity paper into this section of the SOAC accountability paper. Next on the queue, I have Greg Shatton.
Greg, again, just to respond briefly to Jan's point, I can see a number of, you know, design issues that would come up with both of those proposals. I think that if, to answer the first question, if an IRP were commenced by the community mechanism or by community members and the board asserted that it was a not within the power or the jurisdiction of the IRP to bring that, that would be a valid defense or counter argument within the IRP. I don't think there's any new action that we would need to take in order to enact that. And as to the second issue, a variety of issues, and I don't think this is the time or place to raise them. But this is, as with any new suggestion coming on at this point, we have to consider whether we can get it fully baked enough, especially considering that our existing proposal we've been working on, you know, one way or another for months, has been criticized as being, you know, half-baked or at least under-communicated. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Greg. So are there any other comments in regard to SONAC accountability? I see Jan, do you want to, I believe, answer to Greg. So go ahead, please, Jan.
No, just briefly, and Greg, I think I didn't express myself clearly certainly on the first point. I think Greg understood it in a way that I didn't intend, but I don't think we should distract this meeting on that. I think Greg's point is right. Take it outside and work it through and develop it. But I do think the general point that we're getting strongly from board and others is that if some fairly concrete measures about how the new powers for the community in the community empowerment mechanism, if we don't offer some specific indications of how those powers will be held to account, the proposal might encounter difficulties. So to that extent, I think it probably is worth time spending time on things that may be new and may be somewhat half-baked still, but they could probably well help the proposal actually to get through once others start scrutinizing it. One other small point that I recall from the Los Angeles meeting is that Steve Del Bianco's stress tests at one point included some elements which addressed issues about SOAC accountability, and we said that those bits of the stress test should be integrated with the discussion of SOAC accountability. I realize it's not actually part of the public comment, but I'm just thinking that this is also an important point for the next draft of this part of the proposal, that the bits of the stress tests which relate to this be incorporated into the discussion of SOAC accountability.
Thank you very much, John. And we have agreement that we should take this offline. And we'll certainly reach out to Becky to see how we could actually dig deeper into this issue. And I see a comment from Greg that we should also consider whether something other than or before an adversarial arbitration should be put in place when an SOAC accountability issue arises, rather than just jumping into an IRP, and that is also a matter of escalation or escalating in this path to the IRP. So are there any other comments in regard to SOAC accountability? Okay, so I think that the next steps, which is our next agenda item, and I'm skipping agenda item number 3, which are comments on assessment by the group, because I think we've already done so. And if there is anyone that feels that I'm skipping this point and would like to voice any other comments, please do so at this point. Okay, no other comments. So agenda item number 4 will be next steps. I would suggest that each of the pen holders goes back and includes the different suggestions and comments that we heard from our working party today. I will, of course, take care of the SONAC accountability, and I would kindly ask a staff to forward the notes and the comments made on diversity and on staff accountability to the corresponding volunteers that are holding the pen on these two topics, so that they can, of course, adjust the documents accordingly. And I think that we're reaching a good document in all these three emerging issues, and of course we will be having it would be useful to at least check when we have the latest versions or the suggested last versions by each pen holder, whether we agree on them or not. So I would say that if we need to deliver on October the 12th to the CCWG at large, we should say that the deadline for completing these documents with these comments that we heard today could be Saturday, October 10th, so we can have them circulated to the list. Or I'd say tomorrow, because if we send the documents on Friday the 9th, then we would have Saturday the 10th to discuss, and we would be achieving our goal of delivering by the deadline on October the 12th. So let's say 24 hours from now, we have as pen holders 24 hours to finalize the documents, circulate it to the working party list, and, of course, make final comments through the mailing list and have the pen holders or the volunteers on each topic to incorporate last comments and deliver it to the CCWG by Monday the 12th. Are there any objections to this way forward? I see green ticks. Excellent. So, staff, could you please help me on sending these notes to the working party, of course, and specifically to each of the pen holders with the notes from the call, so they can add all that's been said to the corresponding document. And now this will take us to any other business. Are there any other business to take care of this call? Or would you like 24 minutes of your life back for free? Okay, so I see no one raising any other business. At this point, I think we could adjourn this call. And I thank you, everyone, for your attendance. Let's continue the work offline and talk to you soon again. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Leon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.